Grace and peace be unto you, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel lesson from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. First, though, we consider the letter to Corinth, 1 Corinthians. In that letter, St. Paul writes, he says, "We," that is, apostles, evangelists, pastors, ministers, "we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks, but to those being saved, both the power of God and the wisdom of God." Paul explains how the foolishness of God, not that God has foolishness, but from the world's perspective, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God stronger than men. He says, "Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Yes, he has. Jesus overcomes the false knowledge of the world. His cross is the answer to their hypocrisy. His teaching exposes the emptiness of their thoughts. You see, the world works politically. Jesus works righteously. He sheds light on their darkness, exposing them. He brings the truth to bear upon their lies. And they hate him for it. They crucified him for it, but death cannot stop the righteousness of God. There are two ways that Jesus overcomes the false knowledge of the world. First, he overcomes the world with his words, which is fitting. He is the Word of God made flesh. First, he overcomes the world with his words. Second, he overcomes them with his work. Jesus is the Word of God in the flesh, and he wages war against the powers and the principalities of this present darkness. He speaks and things obey. Just as he said in the beginning, "Let there be light," and there was light. So too he said to the storm on the sea, "Be still," and the wind and the waves obeyed his word. He said to the demoniac, "Be silent and come out," and the demon left. He said to the leper, "Be clean," and he was cleansed. He said to a dead man, "Lazarus, come out." And even death could not stop the man from obeying the word of Christ. But Jesus not only commands with words, he debates, discusses, exposes falsehood with his words. And that's what we see today in the gospel lesson. You see, there's a battle going on between Jesus and the devil, his church and the powers of evil. And it didn't begin in the wilderness where Jesus was tempted. And the battle, it's not with swords and clubs and spears. It is a battle of words. Because the devil is at work in words. False, twisted words. He uses the words of flesh and blood people like you and me, or hopefully not like us. But when none other than St. Peter denied the cross of Jesus, Jesus said to him, "Get behind me, Satan." The devil is at work in the false words of people. And the devil is the one working in the religious leaders and authorities in Jesus' day, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the scribes, who were carefully watching him to find a way to slander him and to ruin him with words. And it's no different in the world today. Satan is the prince of this world. We battle not against flesh and blood, Scripture says, but against the powers of darkness in this present age. The devil and the world don't mind a silent Jesus who says nothing and has no words to speak or with which to challenge or teach, but a Jesus spoken. As we see in Jesus when he speaks. When Jesus speaks, it's like hitting the lights in a cellar and all the mice scurry to the corners. Jesus not only commands with words, he teaches and exposes. And in today's gospel, he was asked by a scribe, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus gives it. "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind." And he goes further with a second one like it. "Love your neighbor as yourself," he teaches the scribe. Because that's exactly what the hypocrites were failing to do. They were putting burdens on others that they couldn't bear themselves. They were condemning starving people for stealing bread while hoarding food to feast in their houses. But the greatest hypocrisy of the world, and remember, to be a hypocrite is to pretend. The greatest pretension is that the world pretends to know all things when really it knows nothing at all. The Pharisees pretended to know things. They pretend that they have all the knowledge and wisdom of God, and they heaped up their own traditions, burying God's word under a landfill of worldly wisdom. So nothing really makes sense, so that nobody can really untangle its web of contradictions, find the needle of truth in that haystack. Everybody's confused, but they pretend to know things. But there is nothing in that landfill to be known. And so you need to be part of the in-group and pretend with one another. You need to wear a false face. You need to kiss the ring. You need to get invited to the best dinners, have some letters before your name and after it, to be distinguished so people will listen to you and pretend you matter as you pretend they do, and as you all together pretend that everything makes sense in a world without God. You see, the people of this world don't really know anything, but they have power and they have influence and they have their pretensions. And they guard and protect their false front as zealously as Christ guards and protects you. And anyone who exposes their ignorance, they call evil and try to ruin the person. But Jesus keeps talking. Jesus doesn't hide from their mafia-like tactics, even though he knows where it will lead. He lobs out a simple question, a softball, it would seem. If the scripture says that the Messiah, the Savior to come, is David's son, how can he be David's Lord also, as it says in the Psalms? How can one who comes after David be before him? They have no answer. The religious leaders who study the scriptures and write volumes and volumes of commentary upon it have nothing to say, because the answer would be that the Messiah, when he comes, was going to be God, God's own son. And that's exactly what Jesus is. It's exactly what Jesus was teaching. And that's exactly who they did not want to say Jesus to be. So the Pharisees have no answer. They remain silent. But they are bought and sold by the world. They should say, "Great Scott, Jesus, you're right." Instead, they, like Satan, retreat and wait for a more opportune time. Now, that more opportune time, though, was actually God's plan, not theirs. They plotted to do evil to Jesus, But God meant his crucifixion for good. God sent his son like chum in the water to draw out the sharks. And when they came out to devour him, they drank their poison. The righteousness of Christ does not sit well in the belly of people pleasers and hypocrites. The holiness of God is poison to those whose God is their belly. So Jesus overcomes the hypocrisy of the world, first in his words, and then in his great work. The greatest work in the history of the world was the crafting of two intersecting beams of wood and nailing to it the sin of the world in the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. The hypocrites, religious leaders, Pharisees, Sadducees, chief priests, and scribes, they were the ones even who suggested it. Pontius Pilate, he's the one who authorized it. The Roman soldiers, they pounded the nails and raised the cross of our salvation. Isn't it ironic? There were a lot of actors carrying out the production. And it was the devil, even, who was behind the masks. But mystery of mysteries, it was God's plan. It was his trap to catch the wise in their craftiness and, in so doing, save us. The world wants to use you, just like it wanted to use Christ. But by baptism through faith, God has made his holy possession, us, for holy use. God uses all things, whether holy or profane, all people, whether good or evil, all spirits, whether angels or demons, to bring about the atonement of the world and the salvation of his people. Uniting all things at the intersection of the cross, Christ crucified is the place where X marks the spot of our treasure, buried for now in heaven and waiting for us in the day of our glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. And now the peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.